Let's all stand again and sing, "Leaning on His Everlasting Arms."
Pray for me. I have a sinus stuff of the morning.
Raise your hands and say, "Lord, you're all
request for this one? Oh, yeah, maybe that's why the thing's not coming. That first song I've had for a long time, the music to it, and so I practice it on my car going to work every morning. I got 30 minutes drive back and forth, so I've been trying to practice it, and I thought, I just don't know if I can do that song or not. So I got home yesterday, and I was just digging out different ones and trying to figure it out, and that one just kept coming back to me and coming back to me. And so I just thought, well, I'll wing it or whatever I have to do. And I came in this morning and had them in my hand and was handing them to Ray. And Bill saw that one and he said, is that the one by Jeff and Sherry Easter? Is that the one you said? I said, I'm not really sure who sang it. But he said that when his mom passed away, one of his friends, he called him and he told him to listen to that song, and it helped him. So,
amen.
I guess, well, I know the Lord works in mysterious ways, so he might can tell more about it, but that's what he told me this morning. So I've always told everybody, I try, my songs I pick that I like, that has a message for me, that song that I just sing, going to work every morning, you know, when I practice in the car and stuff, I can sing real loud or mess up, don't matter. And me and the Lord has, you know, good times sometimes just in the car by ourselves. And, but anyway, I know the Lord works and works things out for the best. Evident. Isn't it not going to work? I can try it a cappella. That's okay, Ray. If it's not going to work, it may not be meant to sing. I'll just try it a cappella, Ray. Life has been so good, I can't complain. And when I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. And when I'm weary from the struggle of it all, I just listen, oh, I listen to His call. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately heaven's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave it all behind. 'Cause heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Amen. It's so hard to lose a loved one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe the tears from our eyes when we meet him in that land beyond the sky. Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately heaven's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave it all behind. 'Cause heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Yes, someday I'm gonna leave it all behind. 'Cause heaven's sounding sweeter all the time.
Older I get, the more I think about heaven. I think about going, you notice older folks like to be home. I'm getting older, so I'm ready to go home. Amen. Praise the Lord. I had a request this morning too, but I'm going to preach anyway. I'm kidding. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to use one verse this morning. We'll be we'll allude and go to several different places. But Lord, earlier in the week, really stirred me with a verse, and you might say you're at the time, and it's not that time of the year. But the Lord just dealt with me. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 27. You find your way, if you would, stand with me. John 13, 27. You find your place, say amen. 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 And after the sop, Satan entered into him, Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. That thou doest, do quickly. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for blessing us the way that you have. You've brought us here safe. Lord, you give us some food to eat today, clothes to put on, transportation here. Lord, able to put my own clothes on, I thank you for that. I thank you for the blessed hope, a blessed promise that I have in trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord, and I'm so thankful there's a better day coming. I'm thankful we have a place called heaven that we can have on our minds. Lord, we just love you and praise you today. And I pray you touch your old preacher boy, and I need you. God, you'd anoint me from on high and forgive me. And Lord, hide me behind the cross. And God, I just pray that I could be used. And Lord, pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And pray, God, for illumination of my mind. And pray you'd touch my vocabulary and help me not say anything untrue. Help me not to say more than I should or less than I should. God, I pray for your direction. I pray for your help. Lord, and I pray most of all, your will be done in each of our lives today. We'll leave. You'll touch our hearts and the way that we need to be touched, and we'll respond in the right way. God, we'll allow you to move in our hearts and our lives. We'll be a sold-out people. Lord, with the desire to serve you more than we ever have. And Lord, as we realize the days are getting shorter, and Lord, that as it's getting close to the end, I'm convinced, and Lord, I'm really convinced with the way you've stirred my heart with some messages. And God, that I prayed that you'd give us a desire. And Lord, help us to realize that what we're going to do, we've got to do quickly. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We want to share this message with you, help of the Lord, that thou doest do quickly. And like I said, that this really got on my heart early in the week. And or it could be said, what you do, do quickly. And of course, we know in the background of this that this was when Judas had betrayed. In verse 26, he said, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." The disciples were asking. Jesus had said, "One of you is going to betray me." And they said, "Lord, is it I?" They wanted to know. And he told them here, and then he told Judas that what you're going to do, do it quickly. Now, some thinks that Judas had no say in the matter, that this was, the Lord had designed it this way and he had no choice but to betray the Lord. I believe different than that. Matthew chapter 26, if you want to turn there, I want to read a few verses of the account. Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 21. "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said." And I believe that Judas still to this point, had an opportunity and had a choice if he wanted to betray the Lord or if he wanted to follow Him. Here in 2020, we still have the same opportunities. We still have the same choices. We can follow the things of the Lord, or we can turn our back and walk away and do as we please. But let me tell you, there is consequences and a penalty if we decide to turn our back on the Lord and walk off. Just like here with Judas, what an awful, awful consequence in verse 24 that he said, "The Son of Man goeth, it is written, but woe unto that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man to not been born." He had a choice, and he made the wrong choice. And once you have made that choice and it's gone too far, it's too late. Now we've got time to make the right choices. Now we've still got a little time, and that's why the Lord has stirred me today that what we're going to do, we need to do quickly. It's not much time, folks. I'm convinced that we're living in the last days. I'm convinced that the rapture of the church is not far away. Now I know people say, "Preacher, they were saying that and you was a little boy." They was. But I'm telling you, whoo! If you want to read the book of Revelation, read the front page of the newspaper. Amen? And as we can see it and see the times that it's getting near the end. See, the Lord knew before the foundation of the world that Judas would betray Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He knew it, and he had it written, his prophecy of it. And he knew that Judas would betray him, but he did that of the foreknowledge that God has of mankind. And because of that foreknowledge, he not only knows Judas's destination and eternity, he knows ours. And he knows where we will spend eternity and how we will stand before God. But today, I'm so glad we've still got time to change the situations that we're in. Today, if you're under my voice, that we could still make a change in something that's in our lives that God wants different. In verse 25, he said, "Thou hast said." Judas, it's up to you. If you betray me or if you go with me to the end. It's up to us today. There's a lot of folks that's made a decision early in life or some part of life, and times have got hard and times have got tough and they just walked away from the Lord. What we're going to do today, we got to do quickly. You know, and I believe that Jesus was also saying here to Judas, whichever way you go, you got to do it today. Now's the time. And you know, in our lives, that it's important that we make a decisions and we stick with it and we do it quickly. Now, what about us today? And this is one time the introduction probably going to be as long as the message, so don't get tore up because the introduction's going long. Y'all used to that, I guess, aren't you? But what about us? You know, the last few weeks we've been talking about Christ's return and thinking that the end is near and the Lord has stirred and led that way, and I believe that he's getting a message across to us today. It's about time for him to come back and get his church. Is there something that you need to do? I don't know. And the Lord didn't give me no big list of stuff to go over today. So I'm not going to hit a bunch of points. I'm just bringing up, you know what God's dealing with you on today. I don't have a clue. He just kind of put me in the dark here. He said, this preach this. No, so I'm just going to preach. Is there something that you need to be doing, or you something you need to change, or a calling, or his will, or maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're being saved and you're in a backslidden condition. I don't have a clue, but the Lord is touching and dealing with us today. He has dealt with me today on this message. See, y'all just sat here at 30 minutes. I've had all week. Y'all joke about me stepping on your toes. You ought to see how the Lord steps on mine. And I've been thinking, Tim, some of these things you should have done. You could have done. Why have you not done already? Took care of it. Now, this morning, I've got one finger out and four back, as Preacher Cusshaw used to say. But what we're going to do, we've got to do quickly. There's not a lot of time left. See, the first thing that I want to look at, speed is urgent, or time is of the essence. We don't have a lot of time to think about some things. It's time to act. Sometimes that it's good to back off and give something a little bit of time, but the Lord had stirred me this week as a sense of urgency, and it's time as a church, it's time as the people of God, it's time as families, it's time as individuals that we step up and we do something for the Lord, that we don't have a whole lot of time left, that it's urgent, when it gets down to the 10th and 11th hour, right toward the end, there's not a lot of time that we can dilly-dally around and get carried away with some other things. The parable of the sowers, one of them said that the seed was sown and the weeds growed up and choked it out. The cares of the world and the things of the world had got a hold of that seed and smothered it out. I'm afraid that as Christians and the church of the living God, that a lot of times that we let the cares of the world and the things of the flesh and the things that don't matter come up and smother out the thing that does matter. We get carried away and caught up and led astray by the cares and the things of the world that is not matter mount to a hill of beans that will not matter in eternity. And we let eternal matters, we put them on the back burner because we're too concerned about the cares of this world. See, Jesus knew when and how God's will would be fulfilled. He told Judas, he said, now's the time. Of course, he didn't tell Judas this, but he was going to die in just a couple days. He was going to raise on Easter Sunday morning. It was planned. That was the plans. It was time to act. It was time to move. I tell you, it's at the end time. We're in the last quarter. It's getting close time. It's time to move. It's time that we get excited. It's time that we get fired up. It's time that we get a burden for the lost. It's time we get excited about the things of God. It's time, church, that we get on our feet and do something. We don't want to be like the church where the preacher got excited. He said, church, if we're going to do something, we're going to have to crawl. That's when there was a amen corner in the deacon sitting over there said, let's crawl, preacher, crawl. He said, if we're going to get thing done, we got to walk. And he said, let's walk, preacher, walk. He said, if we really want to get done, we got to run. And he said, let's run, preacher, let's run. He said, if we're going to run, we're going to have some money. And he said, let's crawl, preacher, let us crawl. You know, when we make a decision, and I don't have notes for this, and this is just straight, Lord, just give it to me. When we make decisions on spiritual and ministry matters, money shouldn't even have nothing to do with it. If God calls us to do something, and God puts us in a position that He will make a way. Amen? And as we're looking and thinking, as we're going together, the future of the church, it's time that we get excited. It's time we get fired up about the things of the Lord. Because there's people that's going to hell. I've got a friend that's a missionary, and I talked to him the other day. He said, and it's when the Lord started stirring me on this message. And he said, you know, said there's a, I invite and I'm trying to get out. He said, because Jesus is coming back. And these people need to go to heaven. And as I thought about that and that clicked in and I thought, wow. And have we got that mindset? What if Jesus comes back today? I mean, we might say, praise the Lord. But who would you leave behind? Lot left family in Sodom. Who would we leave behind today? And could you look back and you say, well, it don't really matter if they don't make it or not. Whew. See that? It's more than just us. We've been, the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, when they rebuilt the wall, that each family, the house was built along the wall. It was their responsibility to take care of that section of the wall. It's our responsibility this morning, the section of the wall that God has given us, that we are to take care of that part. That's our family. That's our co-workers. That's the one that bags our groceries up. That's the one that mows our yards. Does our weed eating. Amen. Now is the time. Again, I've said it. It's coming to a prophetical time that we have talked about. It's also a marvelous and exciting time. Being part. Being like, I heard it called the Joshua generation. Moses led them through the wilderness. Joshua led them into the promised land. They was part of the generation of Joshua that got to go in to the promised land. We may be that generation. We may be the ones that get called out and get called up and to meet the Lord in the air and tuck in the glory. Woo! Praise the Lord. We ain't got much time. And I'm not saying it's not important. And I'm not saying not to pray about it, but let's not get called away and carried away about politics and the things that don't matter. I mean, I'm saying vote, and I'm saying pray and let the Lord lead you to vote, and I'm saying it's concern, but God sets up and takes down who He wants to. Amen? John 9:4. The Bible says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I just got a thought. I hadn't even thought about it till now. We, a few years ago, hung a lot of houses. We had a contractor, and these two old boys with me, we all, three of us, we'd hang these houses. We'd work our 40 hours at Crawford, and then in the evenings, we'd go hang these houses for the contractor. And there's a 105 board house, and there was a little closet in the middle, a return, air conditioned return, just a little closet, 2x2. Wow, it was hard to get in there. That's always the last thing we hung. And more times than one, we'd have to take our cell phones and use the light in there to screw the screws in to hang that room. If we'd had any sense, we'd hung it first. It'd been a lot easier to hang a big room in the dark than it would of that little closet. But dark's coming. The night's coming. When we can't do the work, as I thought this morning, as I was sitting in my study a few minutes, and I thought at Limestone, and it would have been the center pew, center aisle, and about the second or third pew, there was a man used to sit there named Beck Eastep. I can still see Beck sitting there. And Beck Eastep used to tell me, he said, I support you young fellas, and I'm behind what you're doing, and anything I can do, I'm praying for you, but I can't do the work anymore. Time's done and gone by. I wish I could. I wish I could. But he said, I've got your back and I'm praying for you. And I thought of that this morning. I'm getting to be, I'll be the one sitting there if I live long enough or long enough. And I'll say, I'm behind you guys, but I can't do it anymore. You'll be there. What have we left undone? Who ain't going to make it because we ain't worked like God asked us to? He died for us. He gave the best hunting I had to offer. Shouldn't we give Him the best we got? Shouldn't we give Him of our finances? Shouldn't we give Him of our time? I'm glad somebody had some concern for me. I'm glad there's a man named Preacher Cutshaw came out and sat on the little footstool. We had a couple of chairs there and a little footstool, and Preacher Cutshaw came and sat on that footstool. We talked about tobacco, and we talked about gardens, and we talked about everything. I got to know him. We just fell right in love with him. First, when he left, he said, "There's a steeple right over there. You can almost see it from here." He said, "Some people over there at Ludge." He had enough concern. He come talk to a couple younger folks that he didn't have a clue. Thank God for Preacher Cutshaw. Thank God for my mama that took me to church. Thank God for a preacher that talked about the Lord on the job to me. Thank God for the people. Have you got people in your mind that you can think back? I thank God them old godly saints that used to wave their hands in the air and pray and praise the Lord and get up and get caught up in the Spirit of God and praise. And I remember I've been in some services when I was a little boy. I thank God for those folks. They give us a mark to go by. Are we doing that for the younger generation that's coming on? Can they use us as a measuring stick? See, I go back to the old times. I can take some of those godly saints, some of those godly preachers, and then I can use what I'm hearing today as a measuring stick because they had the goods and they knew what it was all about. They know the Bible and they was anointed of the Lord, and God used them in a mighty way in my life. Are we doing the same for the young folks? I've said so often, and I've prayed. My family and church family, that when they roll me out, it may be right here. I kind of hope it is. When they roll me out, I hope that they can say, "You know, he wasn't perfect, but you know he did the best he could. He tried. He preached Jesus." I hope the last sermon I ever preach, I'm still preaching Jesus. Amen. See, we have now a door or a window of opportunity. It's not been closed. One day that door will be closed. We'll have no more chance. It's urgent. Night's coming. It's urgent that we work. Psalm 90 and verse 12. The Bible says to him, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days. Teach us, Lord, to help that we realize. See, I'm going to think when we're young, and when you get older, you really start realizing, when we're young, we think we're invincible. We're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I never crossed my mind when I was in my 20s that to get some things in order before time come. Amen? It just didn't register there. Now that I'm in my 50s, mid-50s. I'm thinking, these things, Tim, you need to get make sure you got in order. I think about life insurance, thinking about retirement, thinking about if something happened, maybe would Rhonda have enough to keep going? Am I going to have to hang drywall till I'm 80? See, he said to number, teach us to number our days that we realize. Now, we don't have a promise of tomorrow, none of us, don't care what age we are. But when we start seeing more of this gray stuff in our hair, and we don't stand as tall and straight as we used to, that's the clock telling us. Amen? He said, teach us to number our days. And I like the last part of that verse. And it said, he said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to realize who, where we are, that we're frail, that we're not going to be here forever. We're not invincible. We're not going to live on and on and on, and it'll come. But Lord, teach us also, put wisdom in our hearts that we'll know how to live out those last days, and we'll do it and be beneficial, and we'll go when the last breath we take, we'll be doing the will of God. Amen? Number our days, teach us. And then Jeremiah 8:20, the Bible says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Now is the time. Today's a day of salvation. Jerusalem had been, went through a lot of periods and a lot of seasons. And they have been now in this passage about under siege of Nebuchadnezzar for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years probably. Jeremiah said, the summer has ended, we're still not saved. We're still in an awful mess. And I say this morning, the summer has ended, we're in the fall and the winter months of eternity. I mean, of before eternity, I guess what I'm saying. In the grace period of grace. Do you know the Lord? Are you saved this morning? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you take a last breath that you would go into glory? Do you know that you've got the right relationship with the Lord and that you're going the way that you ought to? See, Jeremiah was saying, the season is past and all hope's gone now. There is no hope left for Jerusalem. He was so concerned about his people and about this city and about Judah, and he said, there's no hope left. While we've got a little time, have we got hope this morning? Do we know that we know? I want to ask you, do you know someone? Of course, we're not judges, but you know someone in your family or a good friend that you're not sure where they are with the Lord, and they don't have a testimony. See, it's urgent. Time's drawing near. It's urgent that we are about the Father's business. Today is the day of salvation. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Or redeem or buy back or buy up. What he said, we need to buy up every opportunity that we can to serve the Lord. Buy up every second. Buy up every minute. Buy up every hour. Buy up every day. Buy up all the time that we can to do the things of God that He's called us to do, that He needs us to do, that the Word of God commands us to do. I may get in trouble right here. How much time do we spend or waste on things that really don't matter? I mean, if we really sit down, you know, they say financial planners and say you need to sit down and get a hold of your spending. You ever done that? You ever sat down and calculated up all your spending? Remember, I tried to do a budget years ago. We sat down and we calculated. We were spending more than we was making. I said, I don't know what we're doing, but we're getting along pretty good. We just keep on going the way we're going, I guess. Now, that's not the advice I give folks, but But when you get set down and you start figuring, and you start seeing, boy, there's a lot of money going in that area. I really don't need it. There's a lot going in this area. What about our time? You ever sit down and take inventory of our time? You know, I hadn't thought about that till just now. This week, let's take a few minutes and set aside and start. Do a little inventory of what our time we spend in a week. I guarantee you we'd be absolutely amazed how much we waste. Amen. Paul said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're living in bad days. We're living in evil times. We're living in the last days. We don't have time to waste. We don't, a lot of this I never thought about. Now I start thinking about it. What are we doing that's not beneficial? Are the cares of this life and the desires of the flesh and the things of the world consuming our time? Are we spending our wills on something and spending our minutes and our time on something that it will not matter when it comes to eternity? And then while you're doing that inventory, I'm going to give you another column. I'll make you two columns. Make one, how much time am I wasting? And then make another column, and how much time am I spending on spiritual matters? Woo! I've quit preaching, gone to meddling that. And I'm concerned about my two columns. How much time we spend praying? How much time we spend reading the Bible? How much time we spend fasting? How much time we spend visiting folks and encouraging people and doing things spiritually? How much time we spend at God's house? How much time? Amen? Oh, me? Okay, I've got the introduction and the first point. Hold on. I guess we could put another column and say, how much time did the preacher spend on the waste of our time on the message? John chapter 13, we started out there. If you go back there, John chapter 13, verse 30. The Bible says, and it's still Judas, he then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. This I never had noticed this. I've read it. There's no telling how many hundred times. He went out. Why did he put in it was night? Could be that, you know, to let know that everything that happened in that night, but the before Jesus was to be crucified. They said it was night when he went out. You know, when you go away from the presence of the Lord, you're in darkness. When he left Jesus that time, he was in the dark from then on. He left Jesus in the dark. It was night and is in the dark. He left this world in the dark. Judas will spend the rest of eternity in outer darkness. I think around Easter I preached and used verses. I don't have a verse right now, but it's in John. And Jesus said, John chapter 17 maybe, he said that I have lost none that you give me except for the son of perdition. Judas is in hell today. He walked away from God. He turned his back on God. He was not concerned about the spiritual things. He was more concerned about a little money and little stuff that was very temporary, and it's costing me soul. He walked with the Lord. No doubt helped hand out and take up the fragments when Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. He carried the money bag. I'll get in trouble with Jay. He was the treasurer. He had a big part in the ministry of God in the early part when Jesus, his ministry, Judas was one of the 12. And now he's in hell. Folks, it's important that what we do, that we do it quickly and we do the things of the Lord. We put the spiritual things first and we let some of this other stuff go. That's not that important. Do you know of any tragic examples in your life of people that just turned their back on God and would stick their nose in the air? Wouldn't have nothing to do with the things of the Lord. In Proverbs 29:1, the Bible says, "He that being often reproved, harden his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." One that had been, he'd been reproved. The Lord had dealt with him. The Holy Spirit dealt with him. People had talked to him. He's stiff-hearted and stiff his neck, and the Lord's cut him off. There's a message that everybody needs to hear. J. Harold Smith has got a message, and you can Google it and find it. God's three deadlines. Wow, you talking about a message that'll get your attention. God's three deadlines. These deadlines, and when we cross those deadlines, it's too late. We've gone too far. There's a time that God will deal with you, and God will knock on your heart for the last time. The Bible said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." There's a time that God will quit dealing with you. And Jesus said, "Except the Father draw you, you can't come unto me." And when the Holy Spirit quits dealing with your heart, it's too late, folks. And it'll be the time of darkness. See, it's a dark night for many sinners today that's putting it off and say, "I got plenty of time." Despair and fear and hopelessness. But you know, it don't have to be like that. The Bible says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. I'm thankful for the joy that comes with serving the Lord. I'm thankful that it don't have to be a time when everything's turmoil and when everything's trouble and you don't have that sense of hope and you feel helpless and with anxiety and depression. I tell you, there's a time that we can take it and lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ. Let Him have it and turn it over to Him. He said, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." Amen. He wants our burdens. He wants our troubles. He wants to do away with our sins. Only He can do away with them. You know, and I shared this Wednesday evening, and the Lord stirred me again. The Bible said, if any two agree is touching any one thing on earth, that He'd give it to us from heaven. Is there something that's burdening us down that we need to agree with someone? And we need a prayer partner. We need a prayer warrior partner. Agree together and pray and accomplish some things. See, it's getting night. It's getting late. I read a quote and I didn't jot much of it down, but I jotted down that I got or remembered was to join hands quickly. we need to join hands together. You might say, preacher, it's COVID-19. That's a figure of speech. We join with our hearts. We join with our wills and our minds. See, there's some people that if something don't change, will not make it to heaven. We've got family members that's not going to make it. How much time are we spending on those? Are we spending as much time to get our family saved as we are on cell phones? Watching television? Amen? See, what we do, we're going to have to do it quickly. What thou doest, that thou doest, do quickly. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again.
Lord, I'm thankful for this passage and these verses and the Word of God that tells us, Lord, that we don't have a great deal of time. Tells us that Jesus is coming back. Only the ones that's covered by His blood that ask Jesus